Amen. Great. That's beautiful, eh? And how apt that we look at what God does for us, making us and seeing us as children in Luke 15. And let's look again at this amazing scripture. This is the third time that we're going to be reading this entire chapter together. And get ready for God to challenge your heart, change your heart, stir your heart again and again. Who's been enjoying the Prodigal series so far? It's stirring, isn't it? And this is the heart of God. This is probably the parable of parables. And it's good for us to study it and love it and enjoy it. Luke chapter 15, from verse 1 to 32. The parable of the lost sheep. Now, tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." The parable of the lost coin. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I'd lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Amazing progression over here. Initially it says there's joy in heaven. Then it says there's joy in the angels. And now we start to read the parable which reveals to us the joy of the Father. Isn't that great? There's not just joy in the place of heaven. There's not just joy in the creatures of heaven, but there's joy within the Creator. And this is revealed to us now. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said, 'Father, give me the share of my property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he'd spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish with hunger? I will arise and I will go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing." Like loud music and dancing, right? He was far away and he heard it. And what happens next? "And he called one of the servants and asked, 'What do these things mean? And he said to him, 'Your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I've served you. I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. And when this son of yours comes, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Isn't that wonderful? So once again, we're wanting to capture the heart of God. And he's revealing himself through this parable. It's not just about seeing the lost son and realizing that, yes, if you're lost, you can be restored. And that's exactly what it says. But it comes from a heart. There's a center within this parable that is the Father. It's the Father that's the picture of the whole parable. It's the Father that's the picture of the whole story. And the Father's heart is challenging the Pharisees and Sadducees who were saying to Jesus, how can you spend time with sinners? How can you gather with sinners? And Jesus declares this parable and tells these stories to the Pharisees to challenge their hearts. To say to them, you don't realize what kind of people you are. You don't realize what kind of God the Father is. Because the Father loves you and he loves the sinners. And he wants to reach them. And he wants to find them. And so, you know, when it says that all the sinners and tax collectors were gathering to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were asking him questions, by their own admission that sinners are gathering around Jesus, they were declaring themselves sinners. And that's who Jesus attracts. Everyone. Doesn't matter whether you're a sinner or a tax collector or a this or a that or some person that's been in church for a long time. Jesus attracts us, isn't it? It's time for us to get a revelation of the beauty of Jesus and the Father that he's revealing through himself to us. Jesus said this to one of the disciples. He said, I think it was Philip. They said, show me the Father. And he said, when you see me, you see the Father. And he didn't say anything except that which the Father had given him to say. He didn't tell or do or anything. He didn't express in any way. He didn't reveal anything unless it was the Father doing it through him. So when we see Jesus, we're seeing the Father. We're seeing Jesus love little children, we're seeing the Father. When we see Jesus laying his hand upon lepers and healing them, we're seeing the Father. When we're seeing Jesus welcome sinners, we're seeing the Father. Hello? Who here has never been a sinner? And you're welcomed to the Father. Isn't that beautiful? And so, this week we're focusing on just verse 20 to 24. And it's the Father's response to the lost son. The first thing is this, there's an anticipation within the Father. The Father's longing. The Father is waiting for a long, long time. And 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any would perish, but that all should reach repentance. Now sometimes we say this, oh God, can't you just end the world now? Can't you just stop everything and come again? But he's not going to do that because he's patient and he doesn't want anyone to perish. He's waiting and he's waiting and he's longing. And it's the Father's heart to wait for the sons and daughters to come home. It's the Father's heart to just one more moment because there's one more son. Just don't drive off yet, Mr. Bus Driver. There's still one more passenger to get on. Jesus has got that heart. He's drawing us. He's saying, go for one more. What is your life purpose? What is your life goal? As we looked last week, if it's anything other than God himself, it's going to get you to a point where you're empty and hungry. But if it is God and his heart, you'll be fulfilled and satisfied every day. Who wants to live a fulfilled and satisfied life? Then do the will of him. Jesus said, this is it. My will is to do the, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his task. And so let's have that same heart. You know, there's nothing greater than that satisfaction of seeing somebody come to Jesus right before your eyes. Isn't that amazing? Because you know what it was like when you came to Jesus. And you know this, God was watching over you and was longing for you and was waiting for you. And maybe there were many opportunities when God had said to you, come my son, come my daughter, come. And you put it off, but God waited. And now you're fine today. Let's be patient. Let's wait, you know. How many of you would like to see that person in your family saved? Well, the Father's got more patience than you. The Father is waiting. He saw the son from a long way off. afar off. You know what? God sees you before you see him. God's watching out for you before you look out for him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were far away from him, he reached out to come after us. While we were looking in the other direction, trying to find satisfaction in everything else around the world, right behind our backs was the Father reaching out to grab a hold of us. He is running after those that he knows he loves. He's running after them with everything he's got inside of him. But while they were a long way off, listen to this. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him. And this is when, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he was calling disciples to himself, and the disciples were telling others that this is the one, this is the Messiah, this is Jesus. Come and listen, come and see. And so I think it was Simon Peter. Andrew told Simon Peter. Andrew and Simon Peter have a connection with this Nathanael, and they are bringing him in. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him. And he said to him, Jesus points out and says, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And sometimes we think, I decided to follow Jesus. You know, we sing that song, I've decided to follow Jesus. Actually, before that, he decided to call you. Isn't that amazing? You say, I found Jesus. You know, we sing that song, I found Jesus. Actually, he found you. Long before he chose you. Never let us forget that. It's not that we chose him. He chose us. He was the one who was thinking about us before we even thought. Before it even considered, entered into our minds. He was the one who was running after us. And he sees us. You know, in Genesis 16, there's the story of Hagar. And Hagar is a maidservant to Sarah and Abraham. And God has given a promise to Abraham and Sarah saying, your sons, through you, will be an inheritance that will fill the earth. It'll be as numerous as the stars of the sky and as numerous as the grains of sand on the sea. And Abraham and Sarah are barren. And years go by. And they start doing, how's this thing going to work? So Sarah decides, I'm going to manipulate this thing a little bit. I'm going to control the situation. Hagar, my maidservant, you come, Abraham, sleep with her, and we'll have a child through her. And so Hagar, you can imagine, she's just the maidservant. She just has to do what she's told. And she conceives, and she gives birth to a son. And the opposite thing happens. You should expect there to be a whole lot of joy in Sarah's heart because she's arranged this thing. But the first thing that comes into her is this deep jealousy. And she realizes, it's not me that had the child. And there's this anger inside of her. And she starts to mistreat Hagar to the point where Hagar runs away. And so Hagar's running away. It says this in Genesis 16 from verse 7. It says, and the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing from my mistress, Sarah. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. So she called out to the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are a God of seeing. For she said, truly here I have seen him who looks after me. Therefore the well she called my Hebrews were bad. She called it Beer, Lahai Roy. And it means the living one who sees me. God sees you. God sees you, folk. You might be going through something that is terrible, that only you think only your own heart knows what you're going through. God sees. God sees. God sees your pain. God sees your troubles. God sees when you're running away from him and doing all kinds of things that are not his will for your life. He sees, but there's a compassion within him. He wants to help. He wants to reveal. He wants to find you faithful. Look at this. Psalm 53 verse 2. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after him. He's watching over us all the time, while we're lost and when we're found. He's watching over our lives. He sees and He loves. Romans 5 verse 8 says this, and God shows His love for us, that in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were lost. While, in fact, Habakkuk says this, that God cannot look upon evil. But because of the blood of Jesus, and because Christ took the sin of all mankind upon Himself on that cross, the Father turned His face away from His Son, so that He will never turn His eyes away from you. Hello? You're not alone. You're not alone in your trouble. Then we see this. The Father is filled with compassion. The Father is tender. I'm sometimes very hard. I don't know where or why that thing is in my heart. And I ask the Lord to soften me many times. But I can sometimes be very cut and dry. Black and white, or like this, or like that. Or Ethan, don't do that. And Bethany, stop doing that. And Cherise has to remind me, they're not five, they're two. And I often, when I'm reading things like this, I say, God, place a tenderness within my heart again. Let there be a tenderness within my heart. It's too easy to be hardened by the world. It's too easy to be hardened by things that are not good. And so, allow the God to bring that tenderness. It says He's filled with compassion. God is full of mercy and full of compassion. We want to be like Him. Amen? If there's one thing about Him that we forget, He's a tender, loving, kind, merciful, and compassionate Father. We've had fathers that were not quite like that. Amen? Some of us have had brilliant fathers. But I tell you what, the Father is tender and compassionate and merciful. This is the one that we would want to run to. But look at this. The Father runs to the Son. And apparently in that day, fathers didn't run. It was beneath a father to run. The children ran. Fathers stood. Fathers told everyone else to run. Told the servants to run, and the children ran. But the fathers stood. The fathers were noble and walked around slowly. And there comes the Father. But this Father, when He sees His Son a far way off, and His heart is filled with compassion, every emotion inside of Him says, forget what they do around me. And He picked up His cloak and he ran while the lost prodigal is coming with His prepared speech. He runs to Him and He throws His arms around Him and embraces Him. And Jesus on the cross threw His arms out to embrace sinners lost. That's a picture. When we see Jesus doing anything, we're seeing the Father. And the Father extends His arms to every single one of us. That's it. He wants to embrace you. He wants to hold you. He wants to take you in. And look at this. It says He kisses him. You know, when you kiss someone, it means there's nothing between you. Hello? You don't put something in the way when you kiss. Put your hand there. When you kiss someone, it means there's nothing in the way. And the Father kisses the Son. He's saying, I'm not holding anything between us. There's nothing between us. I want you, and I want you to be close. The Father's got that heart, folk. There's nothing between Him and you. He's taken it away. That whole dividing wall of hostility, all the law that we think we have to obey in order for God to be happy with us, it's been removed. You can kiss Him, and He can kiss you. Because Jesus has removed everything out of the way so that you can be with Him. Isn't that beautiful? And then we see this, the second thing. So that's the Father's anticipation of the Son and the emotion. The second thing is this. The Father gives the very best of everything He has to that Son. The very best of everything that He has. His best servants. The best symbols. The best celebration. The best things. He commands His servants and He says to them, go and fetch my robe, the best robe. Fetch the ring. I mean, there's no better ring in the house. There's no better robe in the house than His own one. He says, fetch that robe. I'm going to put it on Him. Fetch the sandals. Fetch the fattened calf, the main thing. And let's have a feast. And let's celebrate. Let's do everything in the best possible way we can. You know, when God reaches out to save you, He gives His best. When God laid down His own Son, Jesus, for you. He gave the very best He had.
He was willing to give up the best of what he had to have you. Amen? That must make you realize that God thinks a lot more of you than you realize. Hello? He thinks best of you. He would give up the best for you.
He commands his servants. Look at this. The father looks after those servants. Remember the son, he was saying this. The servants in my father's house have got more bread than I have. This is while he was among the pigs. He knows that his father has got such an amazing heart that father looks after his servants well. Those servants have a master who have a father's heart. I'm sure he's even included them in his will. He's even loved them to the point of things that would make them extremely happy to serve him forever. You know that word servant is the word diakonos, from which we get the word deacon. To be a deacon in the father's house, man, to be someone who serves in the father's house, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. What does a servant need in order to serve in the father's house? He needs to have the heart of the father. What is the father longing for? Then that's what the servants are longing for. What is the father spending his best on? Then that's what the servants spend the best on. Those servants have thought about the things that the father thinks about. Those servants obey every command of the father, but out of love. Those servants do the best for the sake of the lost. If you're serving in the life of this church, if you're serving coffee, if you're going to help out with the parking, if you're going to do anything for the children's ministry, have the father's heart. It's all about the lost son. It's all about that lost son from Lieko prison. It's all about the lost. Doesn't matter where they are. If you can serve by giving your very best for the father, hey, that pleases the father. Amen. Many times we serve, I don't want to do this thing, but I'm going to. Because I'm on the roster again. I can't believe it. Do I have to come to band practice at 7 in the morning? Man, those are not the servants of the Father. Those are servants of themselves. But servants of the Father are willing to give up everything they have to give their best. The best of their time. The best of their energy. The best of their talents. The best of their resources. The best of everything. The best of your money. The best of it. That's why when you give your tithes and offerings, folk, it's never the short change that's left behind and chuck it to God as if he's some kind of deserves a tip from you. Give the very best. That's why we tithe. That's what we say, the first off the top, the gross of everything I give to you, God, the very best. Because I'm your servant and I want to be in the Father's house. Because if the Father looks after the servants by giving them bread, then I can give my very best to Him first. Amen? It's a heart thing. It's not a law thing. It's not do this and then. You know, you can do that thing, and I'm touching on this tithe story. You can tithe because you want more money. So what are you serving? Money. But you can do it for Him. Then who are you serving? Him. That's the heart. And so, we're doing the Alpha course in January. And who of you can remember the Alpha course we did this year? Hello? How many of you have had a meal like that on that first night anywhere else? Can you remember that meal? Was that a good meal? It was possibly the best meal. Well, isn't that the heart of God? Pull out the fillets, man, for the lost. Let's pull out the best we've got. Let's decorate the tables the best we can. Let's offer the best music, the best service, the best everything we can. Let's clean the place up. Let's make this thing look so good. Because we want to give the best who to? The people who don't deserve it. The lost. That's why we give all our time, our energy and everything we have. We want to give the very best we've got to them. That's why we want this thing to be so good. When we do that Alpha course again in January, folk, you know who you can invite to that? The president himself. If anybody's got a contact, phone him and bring him. We want to give him the best. Not because he's the president. Because perhaps he's a lost son. And the father always gives the best to his sons. Your boss, that broom sweeper in your office, have you thought of giving him the best? The poor person who begs on the side of the road, who you reluctantly give 2 rand. What if we could bring him here and give him the best? Hello? Jesus was faithful in all of God's house, not as a servant, but as a son. you realize this, that when you serve, but you serve as a son, you serve differently. When you serve as a servant, you serve because you're going to get something out of it. But when you serve as a son, you serve differently because it's about the Father. It's about what He wants. Listen to David. He says this in Psalm 84, verse 10. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Who would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God? It's just so that you can open that door and see the lost come in. So that you can smile at the person who hasn't seen a smiling face in a long time. So you can smile and welcome the person who thinks that God is angry at him. You can smile at the person who's coming up that passage, up that road, up that driveway, and he's preparing his speech of sin. Oh me, oh my. Forgive me, God, I did this and I did that. And the first person he sees at the door is a smiling face. Does the Father say this? Where were you when the lost son comes back? Where were you? I've been looking for you for a long time. Where have you been? Not at all. He embraces him and he welcomes himself. So glad to see you. He would throw him in the air if he could. That's what we need to do. That's the kind of heart. Would you like to be welcomed like that? Because that's the only welcome you get in heaven. You don't get any other welcome in heaven. The Father is so, he's actually the happiest there can possibly be. You know where happy comes from? The God who's happy. The God who's happy is the happiest when a lost sinner comes home. Have you thought about that? He's not happy when you get your life right. He's not happy when you sort out your problems. He's happy when the lost turn to Him. And maybe you've been in the church for too long. Now say that, because too long is your feeling. You say it's too long. And maybe you've been backsliding. And maybe you've been feeling distant from God. But even when you just look in His direction again, what are you going to see? Happy. 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 Return to Him. He's urgent. He says, quick. Quickly. You know, okay, let's plan something. He's quickly. Let's do it right away. The best robe. The king wore a robe. He puts kingliness upon his lost son. Righteousness. His righteousness. Not the son's righteousness. He doesn't say to the son, go be righteous again. Before you come here. He says, I'm going to take off my robe. Here's my righteousness. I'll put it on you. When people look at you, they're going to see how righteous you look. Because you wear my robe. Hello? That's what God wants to give us. His robe of righteousness. He doesn't want you to wear your robe of righteousness. Not all your good works and all your good things and all the nice things that you've done. All of those things, it's like wearing a robe of filthy rags. You know that scripture where it talks about filthy rags? Have you heard what that actually is? Have you heard? Some of you know. Who doesn't know? It's menstrual cloths. I'm going to say it. The Bible says it, so I can say it. Menstrual cloths. Imagine taking menstrual cloths and making a robe out of it. Hello? And walk around like that and say, gee, look at me, God. Look how good I am. Look how nice I look. That stuff is stinky, man. Get it off. Here's my robe. Here's my robe of righteousness. I put it upon you. You cannot earn righteousness with God. He gives it to you as a gift. He gives it to you just by looking in His direction. He runs to you. He's been longing for you. Folk, are we catching a little bit of the Father's heart here? Think about it. Otherwise, we think too much of ourselves and too little of Him. We need to think a little bit less about ourselves and much more about Him. Let us decrease and let Him increase. He's the one who's righteous. He's the one who's beautiful. He's the one who's welcoming you today. He's beautiful in every way. He puts a ring on His finger. I mean, there's so many things to do with the robe. When Isaiah sees the Lord, in Isaiah 6, he looks up and he sees the Lord, and the train of His robe fills the temple. And a robe talks about the presence of God. And when God puts His robe on you, He's saying, I'm going to put my presence on you. And that's what distinguishes us from all the people of the world. People know there's something different about John. There's something different about Roy. What is it? There's something different about you, Steve. What are these things? It's the presence of God upon us.
When he takes that robe, he's putting his presence on us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us himself and he places himself upon us. That's what distinguishes us from anyone else on the face of the earth, is that there's something on us. What is it? It's not ourselves. And we can't go around and boast and say, oh, no. Yes, yeah, I did this and I did that. And yeah, no, God's happy with me. Eh? No, it's his presence that I humbly receive and I say, God, I can't even wear you, but you give me yourself so freely. I want to tell you about this watch that I'm wearing. This is a tag. This watch costs my salary. Okay? I cannot afford this. There's no way I can afford this watch. I would never buy a watch like this. One day I was preaching on lust, pride, and greed. And a man walked up to me and he took the watch off and he handed it to me. And he said, every time I've worn this thing, I've been proud. And he hands it to me. I'm like, I don't know if I should wear it. I'm going to do the same thing maybe. I don't know. It might be stolen. That's right. Anyway. So I had it on and I was looking at it and I said, Lord, what is this thing? You know, what are you trying to say to me? You need to be more on time or something, you know. And I felt like God said this to me. He said, I put on you the things that you cannot afford. And I was like, yes, God, I can't afford your robe of righteousness. I can never pay to be an elder of a church. I can never earn serving, privilege of serving in the nations for Jesus. It's one day when I stand before him, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servants. And I'm going to be like, it wasn't even my own desire. You put that desire there. It wasn't even my thing to want to go to Rwanda. You put it in my heart. You gave me a love for those people that I can't explain. And I'm just doing what you put in me to do. So how can I get rewarded for that? It's a reward itself just to serve. He puts on us the things that we cannot afford. He gives you his robe and his ring, his watch, his shoes. He puts it on your feet for free. For free. You can't earn it. That's what he thinks about you, fuck. And then he kills the fattened calf. And he celebrates. 1 John 3 verse 1 to 3 says this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be is not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be just like him. What do we do to deserve looking exactly like Jesus on the day when he appears? Hello? Yes, when we adopted little Ethan, I literally stood amazed at how much was poured over him with me and Sharice and I maybe just standing back and watching as God blessed that little boy with everything he needed. You know that we didn't buy a single thing for him for 5 months. Not a single thing. And sometimes we've got this fear in our heart. Well, how am I going to grow a family? Family's God's heart. God will provide. How am I going to do? How am I going to get married? I don't have money. Marriage is God's heart. God will provide. How are we going to look after this child? For 5 months, we never bought a single thing. Every nappy, every formula, the lot, there it was. Even this last week, we found out that the school where Ethan's going to go had given him a bursary of 50% for the whole year. I mean, I was standing back watching God lavish that child. He loves that little boy. And that is a picture of what he wants to see for you and me. He's adopted us into his family. Whatever family you are from doesn't matter. When you're adopted by him, everything that he has becomes yours. He loves you. While we were standing here, a lady came to me, and these kids were worshiping here. And a lady came to me and she said to me, I want to adopt one of those children. And not as in take into the home, but she said, I want to cover that child there with the red shirt, that girl. I want to cover her education. While I was standing at the back here. Fuck. That's the heart of God, right here.
I think we need to start something like that. She asked me if we've got a program. I said, we don't. But I think we need to. What if we restored those children that haven't got anything to a place where we would, the things that we would do for our children, we don't ask them to pay for it. We do it for them freely, isn't it? What if we did that for some of these kids to have a better education? Amen? We will make a plan to look after people again. I think that's wonderful. Eh? That's the heart of God. You know, the third thing is this. The father affects the son. The father affects the son. What happens to the son? It says he was dead, but now he's alive. When a father loves a child, that child comes alive. Hello? When a father loves a child, the child comes alive. He says, this son of mine was lost, but now he's found. You know, fathers, we need to realize this. The home is as the father is. If the father's abusive, the home is abusive. If the father's abdicated his responsibilities, that home has abdicated its responsibilities. If the father is absent, the home is absent. But if a father's loving, and if a father's kind, and a father's giving his time, and a father is pouring out and embracing and kissing his children, that home comes alive. Fathers, we have a role to play because we have to represent this father. Hello? Fathers affect their children. Do you know that what you do affects your children, fathers? Every dad here, what you do, and every one who's not a dad yet, prepare yourself because you will be one. And whatever you do is going to affect your children. And you want to do the things that are going to bring life to them. You want to do the things that are going to make them feel like they're not lost. Like they're running around trying to find something, but actually the father's got it all. And the father can give it to them. The very thing they're running after to find is back home. Father, will you father your children? Listen to these hearts, this heart that's in the father. It's a celebrating heart. It's not a condemning heart. The father's got a celebrating heart. He doesn't say, like I said, where have you been? He says, welcome home, my son. Any moment he can have with the son, he's cherishing. It's so hard. It's so easy to get busy with other stuff and let your children fit around the busyness. Rather, let's get busy with our children and let everything fit around our children. Hello? What greater investment is there? Make time for your children, folk. He is powerfully forgiving. Powerfully forgiving. Not harnessing issues. Not saying, you owe me. He lavishly gives again. After he splits up his whole inheritance to the children, when the son comes back, he says, I'm going to make you an heir again. I'll give you more. Who is recklessly squandering in the story? Who recklessly squanders money in the story? The son. The father. Hello? Who recklessly squandered money by giving it to the son? The father. And when the son came back, he gave even more. The father. And when the other son said, why didn't you give me anything? He says, it's all yours. Who is the most generous of all? Who is the most lavish of all? The father. He doesn't stop. He doesn't hold back to see if there's a response and then give again. He gives and he gives and he gives and he gives and he seems to have so much more. I thought he divided up his whole estate. But this father is obviously talking about the father of heaven. Because as much as the father gives away, so much the father has again to give away. He can keep giving away. And the reason why he has so much is because he keeps giving away. The word says this, the tight-fisted man has nothing. But the open-handed man has everything. You know what? If everything you have is God's, then that means everything God has is yours. If you want to own just a bit and say, this is mine, and the Lord says, well, that's all you'll have. Huh? Rather give him everything, because then everything he has is yours. That's the Father's heart, folk. The Father thinks the best of us. The Father is the God of second chances. The God of Jonah is the God of the prodigal. God will give you another chance. Another chance. And another chance. And another chance. Isn't that awesome? He's approachable. Can we be a church like that? That have the Father's heart? Are we a church about Jesus, or are we a church about the Father? Hello? Are we a church about good worship, or about this, or about that? Or are we a church about the Father's heart? Are we approachable? Can anybody come and approach this church and feel welcome and feel like they're embraced and feel like there's nothing between them and there's people who are kissing them, embracing them, holding them in the right way? He's extravagant and unconditional. You know, there's nothing more wonderful than seeing a father love his son. Hello? When you see and I'm talking about a parent and a child as well, so mothers and daughters included, because that's the nature of God. But when a father really loves a son, and you see that son thrive and come alive, there's nothing more beautiful than that. Would you agree? I'll tell you why you do agree, even if you're not nodding. Because that's what you wanted. And if your father ever hugged you and embraced you and said, I love you, my boy, and so proud of you, that's when you came alive. And you know what? Maybe you don't like it because you didn't get it. But I'm telling you today, the Father in heaven loves you. The Father in heaven loves you more than any earthly father could ever love you. Perhaps your father is just another prodigal son. Don't leave so much expectation on your father. If you're in this place today, you can have the love of the Father. And maybe God's going to give you His love for your dad, who's just another prodigal son. Maybe you should phone your dad and say, Dad, I love you. Maybe you should phone your dad and say, Dad, there's nothing between us. Because the Father's heart is in you for your dad. Hello? I understand that we've got broken relationships. But stop looking all the time to other people to resolve things. If the Father's in you today, take His love and go lavish it upon your father, your earthly father. He's just another prodigal son. If he's a prodigal son. You know what I mean? Oh, Lord, do work within our hearts here this morning. That father was willing to suffer for his family. You know, the father had a third son. There's the lost son that came back. There's the elder brother who was in the home. But the Father in heaven gave up Jesus. And it hurt his heart for Jesus to have to die on a cross. But you know what? The Father's willing to suffer to love the sons and daughters. Are you as a dad willing to suffer for the sake of your children? We would, isn't it? But think about that. Willing to give up so much for the sake of sons. God blesses that thing. For all, Romans 8, verse 14 to 17, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, heirs and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So my question this morning is this. Where are the fathers? Fathers and mothers with the Father's heart in you. Watch your children. Look for your children. Perhaps, folk, you're saying, but I don't have any children, Brad. There's tons of kids. There's tons of children who don't have fathers. Stop saying, I don't have a father. There's children who are saying, stop saying, I don't have a child. There's children who are saying, I don't have a father. Right? Watch your children. Have compassion on your children. Run to your children. Run to the children. Spend time, energy, money, emotion on your children. Embrace your children. Kiss your children. Give them your best. Feed them. Call identity in them. Give them a robe and a ring and sandals on their feet. Show them that you're a father that celebrates. Arrange other things around your children and don't put your children behind. Give them a footing, a standing. Play hide and seek. And find them. Find your child in whatever season they're in. Find their heart and capture it every single season they're in. and make them come alive. You know, we should change the words of that song, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. We should change it to Amazing Dad. Because grace is just a topic, but the Father is a person. Amazing Dad, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The Father. It's not just about amazing grace, but it's about an amazing Father. We're going to worship. Won't you stand, please, folk? I want us to pray, and then we're going to sing together. Yeah, the team can come up. It'd be great. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord God, some people are coming before you this morning, God, with a petition saying, oh God, please forgive me, or oh God, please give me. And you will, God. And some of us, Lord God, need to remember once again that you say to every one of us, you are my son. I love you. I'm pleased with you. Everything I have is yours. Some of us need to confess that again and recognize, yes, I am a son. I am a daughter of God. But Lord God, in all your giving and in all your making us strong, there's only one thing fitting for us to do this morning, and that's adore you. Adore you, Father. Lord, we want to ask you, and we want to thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself through the scriptures and through the prodigal story and through Jesus as he shares these things. And this morning in this place, Lord, I want to pray, Father God, for every lost son to see your warm, embracing arms stretched out wide. For every lost daughter, for anyone who's thinking of coming back, God still loves you. God still thinks about you. God still sees you. And God wants to put his arms around you and kiss you. And God rejoices. All of heaven rejoices when one turns back to him. All the angels rejoice when one turns back to him. But yet today we see the Father himself rejoices over you with singing and dancing. If you're in this place this morning and you want to accept the Father's welcome, if you've never done that, if you've never said, yes, Lord, I want to come back home. Be my dad. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. If you're in this place and you've never done that before, today this message is so for you. If you're that person, I want you to just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Raise it high so that I can see you. If there's anyone here who wants to be restored back to the Father for the first time, you've never done it before. Anyone? I tell you, these messages are for the lost people, folk. But perhaps God is wanting to teach us here in this place because nobody's giving their heart to Jesus this morning. Perhaps this message is for us. Can we ask God to give us his heart? Hello? Can we ask God, can we beg and plead that God would use us to give the very best for the sake of lost sons and daughters? Will we give the very best? I mean, I don't know how many people we are here today. 120, 130, 40. Imagine if we gave everything we've got for the sake of those that the Father loves. Because we know how much he loves us. Maybe that 700 will come, John. Let's ask God for his spirit this morning. Can we do that? Let's raise our hands, Lord. Father God, forgive us, Lord, for looking at other things but not squarely in your face. Great Father, great Dad who shines upon us, we love you and we thank you for your smile. We thank you that heaven is shining over us, oh God. Angels are worshiping, but you, God, are celebrating over us. And this morning we ask you for your spirit. We thank you that Jesus died. You gave the best so that we could be welcomed. You gave your one and only son, your only begotten son. You laid him down on that altar and on that cross and he died to save us. And Lord, we thank you for that. And everything that you've ever needed to do for us, you've done in your son.
And so this morning we accept that wonderful mission that Jesus came to do. We want to accept it upon ourselves. And we ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and baptize us afresh? Would you come and anoint us, Spirit of the Father, Spirit of the Son? Come upon us, we pray. May our hearts be changed, Lord. May we not be so tight-fisted, we pray, God. Forgive us, Lord. May we open our hands. May we open our mouths. May we open our arms. May we open our homes. May we open everything we've got for you and for the sake of the lost, oh God. You're waiting for them. You're longing for them. You're watching for them. And I pray right now, Lord God, if any one of us can't do that because we're battling with something, I want to pray right now by the power of God's Spirit that you be set free this morning in Jesus' name. God forgives you and He loves you. And if you've had a bad father-son, father-daughter relationship, God saw and He knows. And He can replace the pain. And He can fix that thing. And if you try to be a good father, let God do it through you because He's way better. And if you haven't had a good father, receive the Father of all fathers. He loves you this morning. And perhaps God would use you to go and restore your prodigal dad or your prodigal mom. If you want to be used by God for that this morning, make a fresh commitment and to that commission here today, saying, I will do that, Lord. I will do that, Lord.
And as we've been just hearing the heart of the Father, the Bible says that God is love and He is our Father. And traditionally there's a passage of scripture in Corinthians which it talks about love and tells us what love is. And I just want to read this over us, and instead of adding love, I'm going to add the Father. You know, Jesus said when we pray, cry out, Heavenly Father. This morning, you have a Father. And this is what He's like. This is who He is. Just listen as God's Word comes over you. Our Father is patient. Our Father is kind. Our Father does not envy. He does not boast. Our Father is not proud. Our Father is not rude. He is not self-seeking. Our Father is not easily angered. Our Father keeps no record of wrongs. Our Father does not delight in evil, but He rejoices with the truth. Our Father always protects. He will always trust. He is full of hope, and He is full of, and He will always persevere. Our Father will never fail. He will never fail.
Yes, Lord.
And this morning as we begin to enter a time of praise and worship, I just want those words to come over us. You know, the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And this morning we have understood God is good. No matter what our experience is of a Father, by the Holy Spirit, He wants to change. And He wants to reveal that I am good. I am good. So Father, we thank You. We thank You for who You are to us. We thank You for what You've done. We thank You for Your heart. And Lord, just as we have received from You, our Ready Sense Church, just as we have received the love of the Father, there's a desperate cry in His heart. There's a cry in His heart. He says, I want You to take this love, to take this adoption, to take this feeling that you have as sons and daughters of God, to take this love that I have so lavished upon you, that I should call you sons and daughters of the Most High. I want you to take this love, and I want you to take it to those who do not know this kind of love. I want you to take it into a place where there are those that are crying out for this kind of love from a Father. Whether it is in your schools, in your offices, there are people there who are without this kind of love, without this kind of Father. Jesus says this. He says, when I go, I am not going to leave you as an orphan. This is God's heart. He wants those that not have fathers to be reconciled with his Father. That's what he says. He says, I have this ministry of reconciliation. And this ministry was not just for me. I did not come just so that it was there. But I came to show you, and that you might have reconciliation with the Father, so that you can reconcile others. Because this ministry of reconciliation now rests and abides within you. I want you to take this message, says the Lord, this message of reconciliation, and I want you to sing it out loud. I want you to shout it from the rooftops. I want you to, every highway and every byway, whether you leave this city, whether you leave this nation to go to others, whether you leave this place and you just go to your office, I want you to take that message of reconciliation, because my love is for the fatherless. I desire to be their father. I desire to lavish my love on them. And I am going to do it through my sons and my daughters. I will do it through you.
Yes.
Amen.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder?
Meeting without, so we're going to close now, but we are going to be up here for prayer. I just sense there might be someone who you are just needing the embrace of the Father, but felt physically. And we're going to be up here for prayer. If you're needing prayer when we dismiss the meeting, if you're just needing an embrace from your Father. Now sometimes it's just that embrace that said everything is going to be all right. We're going to be up here ministering. And so, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time. We thank you that we can go with your eyes that are continually watching us. Lord, nothing that we do, no place that we go is without your sight. You know where we are. You know where we're going. So, Father, this week, I thank you for the blessing upon your sons and your daughters, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.